Something about waiting we don't like. We naturally become impatient because we're living in a world where not only do we want it now, we can have it now. That's not the way it is with God. Do you value God's choice enough to wait?
How do people try to escape depression? Self-preservation is the first law of life. If you break your arm, your first instinct is to shield it, to keep it from being injured or hit by anyone else. When you are emotionally wounded, truly wounded, you may do several things trying to protect yourself. Some people turn to alcoholism. Alcoholics always have a reason for drinking. It's their wife's fault, it's the husband's fault, it's the boss's fault. The birds are flying the wrong way. The dog barked at me when I came home. It's somebody else's fault. No, it's not. You took the drink, and the drink took you. You're hiding in a bottle because you're afraid to face reality. Alcoholism is not the answer. I'm not against drinking. I drink every day from this fountain of living water. It satisfies. It's greater than anything you'll ever drink. It's better than anything you'll ever taste. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. There's power in this book. There's an answer in this book. There's a God in this book who is the deliverer and who is the answer. Christ is your answer. Find him here.
Amen. Christ is the answer. Amen. Over in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we read these words, picking up from where he left out. So then faith comes by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. What are we listening to? See, oftentimes we're not aware of how much we're listening to other people's opinion, other people's statement, reality programs that says, do it this way, this is to be done that way, or I think it's okay to do this, this is my truth. And we listen to all of these things, not realizing at some point what you keep listening to ultimately becomes what you begin to believe in. And it definitely is something that you begin to trust in. So if you want to trust God, you got to be listening to God's word. You got to be hearing God's word. So it's very important that people that are speaking into your life, that they are speaking the things of God for your life. Amen. So we're going to move on forward into our program on today. That was Romans 10 and 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The very words to live on. The word of God gives me faith. Amen. 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 Over in 2 Corinthians, we see this unwind. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Very powerful statement. I often have said in passing with people, I said, oh, I wish this statement was so true. I wish it was true. Wish it was true. And that is, we walk by faith, not by sight. I wish as believers we was able to exercise that more. A lot of times we're challenged by what we do see. I'm reminded of a story of a man who received Christ in his life around age 28. Suddenly, without warning, he was stricken with blindness. Now, I'm telling the end of the story before I tell the story, but it's very important to know aforetime that this man was blind. This man later on became an inspirational speaker and motivator, encouraging people with disability of all kinds and just people in general. He became one to inspire folks. How was this? Well, after this incident took place with him, at some point, he decided to make a journey. He decided to walk or to hike the Appalachian Trail, which stretches from Maine, from Georgia to Maine, rather. The trail is from over 2,100 miles. Actually, the miles that he traveled was like 2,168 miles that he traveled. While he was traveling, and he would minister and witness Jesus Christ to those he came in contact with while he was on his journey of walking from Georgia to Maine on this Appalachian Trail. It was said that he had failed some 5,000 times in his journey. And that broke down to more than 20 times a day he would fall, but he kept getting up. With nothing but him and his guard dog, his guide dog, he and my dog want to talk. Nothing between him, his faith in God, trusting God, that he was going to make this impossible journey. He did all that he could to make this journey happen. And so by faith, he began reading the scriptures, 2 Corinthians. He trusted what he read, 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So he put in practice the word of God. And by doing it, faith took him from Georgia to Maine. Faith took him without sight from one destination from the start to his finish, 2,168 miles, period of about 8 months to do it, but he did it, and he did it to the glory of nobody but God. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know what your challenges are in life, but my goodness, if this man can do something that regular, ordinary people find hard to do, that means folks that are physically fit, folks that have all their five senses in operation, folks that been hiking and been skilled, many have not been able to make this journey all at one time. But this man, by faith, did it, and he did it blind. So he is the only blind man that have completed this journey as of today. And so he exercised the faith in God's word, and he used it as a ministering tool to minister the gospel to those who he met. Now, I don't know about you, but that's inspiring right there all by oneself. That's encouraging to know that God did all of that by his one self. God is so unique, and he has no respect of person. And if he blessed this man to make a very difficult journey in life, surely he can help us in our lives today. I want to encourage you with that as we join, as we go further program today, as we go further. I just want to encourage you with that. You may be challenged. Some, I know many on this program have sight challenges. Amen. But that's just another opportunity for God to show up strong in your life. Amen. You can say without a doubt that you are walking by faith, not by sight. Amen. Amen. And you can stand on that. And if you can stand on that, imagine what other things you can do in the name of Jesus, all because you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Amen. Once again, all month long, we're going to be dealing with faith and deliverance. Faith and deliverance. I'm going to pray a corporate prayer. We're going into the 4th of July. And so many people, this is another holiday season. Holiday seasons are kind of sad for some because they have loved ones that have gone on to stand before God and give an account for the life that they have lived. And so those loved ones are not there present in their lives now. And some people deal with holidays a little bit different because of the absence of those that they enjoyed those holidays with for so long. And so we want to pray that God will give them strength, give you strength, if that's you, give you courage and give you glad memories of the times that you have enjoyed your loved ones while they was with you, and to remind you that you are still alive, and that means you still have great memories to build. Amen. There are other people that are in your life. And somebody is looking towards you to bring a smile into place. Somebody is looking towards you to light up their life with your laughter, with your antidotes, and so on. And so I want you to be of good cheer. Amen. The Bible tells us that. Be of good cheer. For Christ has overcome the world. Amen. And so because Christ has already overcome the world, we don't have to stay sad. I ain't saying we won't ever be sad, but we don't have to stay sad. You know, a few weeks ago, I fell off that ladder. I was hurt. I was sad for a moment because that messed up my business. Amen. Messed up my workflow and so many other things that I had planned. And so it was a sad moment. Amen. But I was rejoicing because I didn't stay on the ground, glory to God, when I fell. I was able to bounce up, glory to God. I was able to stand up on my own 2 feet, glory to God. Amen, amen. Although my brother took me to the hospital, amen, I was able to walk out of there, glory to God, when they let me go. Amen, because they ain't want to let me go. Amen, amen. But I'm thankful. They didn't have to put me on no ventilator. Glory to God. I'm thankful. Although I damaged some things, I didn't break no bones. So I'm thankful that God spared my life. Amen. I'm thankful that God has me still here. My family didn't have to plan no funeral plans. Amen. Because I had a chainsaw. Amen. Amen. That could have been. That was another recipe for disaster by itself. Amen. But God said no. Amen. Amen. God knows just how much I was able to bear. Amen. And so I'm thankful today. Amen. Still have trouble not able to lift that arm over my head or even to open the palm of my hand all the way, you know, turn your palm of your hand upward. I can't do that. But the pain level has truly gone all the way down. Amen. It's a challenge at times, go to sleep, but I'm faithful that I'm still able to get back out and do some work. Amen. I needed my sons. I still need them to help me with a few things. But I'm able to do something, amen. I'm able to still get around, and I'm thankful, amen. I am thankful, glory to God, because I know it could have been worse, amen. I could still be in pain, a tremendous amount of pain, but I thank God that he's healing my body. Amen, because I stand on the scripture. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. So I stand on that scripture. Amen. And so I believe it. I receive it. And I want you to do the same. I don't know what challenges are in your life today. I don't know what things that you are dealing with personally. But I want you to be encouraged. This is Motivational Monday with yours truly. Amen. So I want you to be encouraged. I don't want you to be sad. I don't want you to be downtrodden. I want your spirits to be elevated to the highest. Amen. So we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now telling you thank you. Amen. Some of us got up this morning, our names made the woke list, and we didn't say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for waking us up, clothed and in our right frame of mind. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for the activities of our limbs, oh God. Thank you for a reasonable portion of health and strength. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for the loved ones that are alive with us today. Lord God, thank you for loved ones, Lord God, that may not be as close as we need to be. But God, I thank you for the loved ones that I do have. And we just praying, Lord God, that you will bring peace in our families, oh God. Where there's trouble, Lord God, that you will unite us, help us to come in one accord, Lord God. Let us, oh God, get along with one another, fellowship with one another as family members. And God, we're just praying for those that are bereaving right now, those that have lost loved ones earlier this year and have lost loved ones in previous holiday seasons. And Lord God, if we come to this Independence Day, this day of celebration, this day of unity of a country, Lord God, they're taking its independence, Lord God. Lord God, we don't want independence from you. Lord God, we want to continue to be dependent on you. We want you to continue to be Abba, Father. We want you to be our source, our reason to live, our reason for joy, our reason for hope, Lord God, our reason for joy on tomorrow. God, you are our everything, and we lift you up, and we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for our freedom, and we thank you for our liberty. And all of those things are wonderful, Lord God, but it would mean nothing without you. And so, God, we thank you that you are in our lives. We thank you that you are, Lord God, that you are omnipresent with us, Lord God. And we thank you that you are omnipotent, Lord God. You know the things that we're dealing with even before we begin to speak them out to you. But thank you, Father God, that you want a relationship with us, oh God, that you said, come unto you all that are heavy laden and burdened, and you will give us rest. You told us to take and learn of you, for your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And so, God, as we exercise that principle, we say thank you. We thank you for lighting our load. We thank you, Lord God, for making things bearable for us, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you don't put on us more than we can bear. Thank you, Father God, that you give us just what we can manage, Lord God. And God, you condition us to manage more. You condition us to be more, Lord God. And so, God, we thank you for the storms in our life. We thank you for the things that seem difficult in our life. It shows us, Lord God, where we are in you, Lord God, and how dependent we are on you, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, because it lets us know, Lord God, that you're there with us, Lord God, and that you haven't left us, oh God, that you haven't forsaken us, Lord God. And so, God, I thank you right now for all that you've done and all that you're yet to do. We lift up the names of those on the 6 Eyes Radio Network team members, all one by one, name by name, Lord God. We just ask that you will show up in their home, Lord God, touch their lives, Lord God, your hand, and be upon the hands of theirs as they make plans, as they make moves, Lord God. You order their steps, order our steps, Father God. You help us to make the right decisions, oh God. God, and as you do it, God, we give your name all the honor, all the glory, and all the show enough praise. We thank you for Brother Six, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the vision that you have given him for this station, Lord God. We thank you for those that are true supporters. Vision, Lord God. Lord God, many have come and gone, Lord God, but thank you for those that have come and stayed. Thank you for those that are still in there encouraging him and pushing him to be better, to do better. And God, we thank you, Lord God. And we know that our labor is not in vain, Lord God. So we speak good. We speak to his heart, Lord God, to be of good cheer, Lord God. We speak to his courage to let him know that there's still more in store in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you now, Lord God, for all that you do. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would guide me as I teach this program on tonight, Lord God. Help me to elaborate fully on the topic of faith and deliverance. Help me to, Lord God, to make plain those things that you want us to understand so that we can go and help those that are in trouble, those that are struggling, that are in our circles, Lord God, that you have assigned for our hands, Lord God. For we all have a purpose, Lord God, and that purpose is in you, Lord God, to win the world, Lord God. So thank you, Father God, for choosing to use us. And as you do it, God, we give your name all the honor, all the glory, and all the show enough praise. It is in Jesus' name we pray, Father God. Amen and amen. Well, once again, I just want to say good evening to everyone on the program tonight. God bless you, you, and yes, even you. And before
God bless you,
I
too.
Move
we just
forward,
got done. We're back. Yeah, we're on. We're listening to you now.
Amen. Well, thank you, Sister Ruth. Missionary Ken gave me the heads up. Amen. Amen. I am glad God gave y'all strength to get done what needed to be done. Amen. And we don't have to tell
the
whole
world.
Yeah,
we're just going to have to do a little bit in the morning, and then we got the backyard, but we did the front yard anyway.
Amen. Amen. We still thank God for the journey.
Praise the Lord.
And that's all that matters.
Now he's just in the office, and I'm laying here down until time to take a shower and go to bed.
Sister Ruthie.
We got fireworks.
Ruthie. You're interrupting.
Amen. Amen. So we thank God for all of that. At this time, I just want to, all the mics are open. If y'all want to say good evening, I just want to give everybody the opportunity to say good evening. Y'all know I check on your mental. Amen. If you like to say it tonight, you're more than welcome to share it. How's your mental? How you feeling? Amen. Good evening. Call y'all one by one. Amen. All right.
I guess I'm probably about a 5 because I'm sore. After cutting that grass, it hurts. But I'll say a 5. But I'm in my spirit. I'm happy as a clam. It's just my body said, don't bug me.
That's all right. That's all right. That means your mental's still up there then. Your physical may be a little tired, but that's all right. Your mental is still strong. So yeah, that's your physical as a 5, but your mental probably a 9. So sound like a 9 to me.
I won't be dancing tonight, but I could feel like it in my spirit because I'm very happy with the Lord tonight.
Amen, amen. Good, 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 good. I heard Queen. Queen, how you doing this evening? God bless you, woman of God.
Good evening. My mental is a 10. Thank you. Good evening,
all right,
everyone.
All right. Well, good evening, Queen. We're embarking upon the 4th of July. Is this a particular holiday that you look forward to celebrating, or is it just one of those things you say, well, I might get some barbecue?
It's just another day. Whatever happens, happens.
All right. All right. Well, I hope you get you some good barbecue, some barbecue ribs or some pulled pork. I don't know if you eat all of that, but, you know, you know, some good coleslaw, you know, some good sausage dolls or something.
Yeah.
I hope somebody send you a nice good plate, some good Boston baked beans and with some meat in it, you know, just go on and you know, go on and going to fill you up.
Yeah. We'll see. I'm just focused on the future. That's all.
That's all right. Amen. Anybody else? Good evening. How's your mental? All right. Well, my mental is good. It is a 10. Amen. I am good spirit. Amen. And even my physical, it's not that bad neither, because I've had to go out and work today, and God given me strength. My son came out there, and I started out by myself, but I didn't have to finish by myself. And so he got on out there with me and helped me get this thing done. And so I'm thankful. Amen. Didn't get all I wanted to get done, but I'm thankful for the things that I was able to get done. And so for those things, I say thank you, Lord. Amen. And I look forward to tomorrow and doing some more. I may have to work early before I can celebrate, but that's all right. I thank God for the mind to work and the ability to get some work done. Amen.
Amen. I'm glad you're doing better.
Amen. My next door neighbor, Miss Franklin, she said, you can't keep a good man down, can you? I said, Lord, if the Lord let me get up, I'm going to get up. So I'm getting up. I don't want to stay down. I said, I don't want to be sitting in the house just watching TV. You know, you do that, you get lazy, and that didn't do no good for me neither. Shoot, seemed like I was hurting worse. But just sitting here, just that pain just on your mind. At least work take your mind somewhere else, because you're focusing on doing what you're doing, and they take your mind off your pain. Amen. That's why I thank God for work. Amen. I know that it may be just a man thing, but I thank God I'm a man. Well, I'm going to move right on into the program today. I'm not going to force anyone to say anything. I'm thankful that y'all are here with me on this evening. Once again, tomorrow is Independence Day, and I want to say to all of you that are enjoying your independence, to God be all the glory. Amen. For what that means for you. Amen. And I pray that you will take this scripture to mind. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And that you don't allow things to weigh you down, keep you down, or tie you down that are not connected to God. Amen. So be free. God has set you free. Stay free. As the scripture said, be ye not entangled again to the yoke of bondage. Now, the phrase by itself says a whole lot, although it was dealing with being under the law. But the phrase itself speaks to us on so many more levels. Said, be ye not entangled, I mean tied up, tangled, you know, if you ever get tangled up in something, twine up, and it's wrapped around you, and you can't get loose of nothing. It's hard. He said, be ye not entangled again in the yoke. A yoke was something that they put on the shoulders of an ox, of a beast, and kept that beast just going in the same old circle, never being able to go straight. And sometimes life will have you going in circles, you know, just the same old circle, never advancing, same old, you're struggling, Be ye not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. So if God has set you free, stay free. Because staying free is a choice. That's one of those taglines in our men's prison program that we taught, that we teach, that staying free is a choice. So I encourage you, if you are free, stay free. I want to also remind you that certain struggles come in life. Struggles and difficulties comes in our lives to reveal to us areas that where we are not free. So when you read 1 James chapter 1, count it all joy when you fall. When, not if. When you fall into diverse temptation, this lets us know that we're going to deal with some stuff, but it comes to let us know where we truly sit. So your trouble, your struggle, the trials in your life, the storms in your life, the hardship in your life often comes around to reveal to you areas wherein you may not be free. Think about that the next time you're dealing with something hard, when you're facing with a difficult decision, when you're frustrated. The Bible said, anger but sin not. It's all right to get angry, but don't get mad. Mad is a state of lost control. Because there's some things in life you should be angry about. You should be angry about the mother that will go and sell her body and leave her children home alone and sell the food stamps. You should get angry about that. Man, but you don't get angry where you just condemn her without trying to help her. Amen, somebody. Amen, because obviously there's an addiction there. There's bondage there. She's trapped. And if you have access to help this individual, then help. That's why the Bible says, when you see your brother in a fault, or when you catch your brother in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore. And then he says, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted, lest you also fall in that same trap. It may not be the same trap of drugs, but whatever your addiction is. You know, you may have an addiction of buying lottery tickets. Hang that around with that, okay. Until you start spending your rent money. Okay. And you started wishing upon a star, trying to play Lucky Seven. See, these things have a way of ensnaring us. They start off innocent. Before you know it, you're in the trap. So let's not condemn people. Let's be mindful that our job is to restore. Our job is to help, man, when you can't. You know, they used to teach, if you can't say nothing good, don't say nothing at all. You know, so if you don't know what to say, pray about it. Ask God to give you something to say. You know, sometimes we walk away and we lead people to their own devices. And moments later, those same people are on our mind and heart again. And that's because God has assigned them in our lives. And we are to be the living epistles for them. You know, I want y'all to do this at your leisure, maybe after the program or even while I'm talking, I want you to open up your Bibles and go to the New Testament. And I want you, as you go to the New Testament, I just want you to go and I want you to look at each one of the New Testament books. There's 27 of them. And so as you going through those New Testament books, when you get to Matthew, I want you to go to the last chapter and the last verse. I want you to look at it, and I want you to see that it says amen. Then I want you to go to Mark. I want you to go to the last chapter, and I want you to go to the last verse, and I want you to see that that last verse ends with the words, amen, Mark chapter 16. Then I want you to go to Luke. I want you to go to the last chapter, and I want you to scroll down or look down to the last verse, and I want you to see that it says, amen. And you'll see that through the gospel. I want you to go and look at 2 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, and I want you to look at those verses and go all the way down to the end. And you'll see a lot of these things are closing. And you'll see verse 14 in 2 Chronicles chapter 13. You'll see it close out by saying amen. And you'll see all of these books are closing. And then I want you to just go back to Acts of the Apostles, the book of Acts. And I want you to go to the last chapter of it. It's 28. I want you to find the last verse, 31. And you're going to read these words, Acts 28, 31. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. But there's no amen. What do that mean, Brother Preacher? Thank you for asking. I appreciate that. What that means is the book is still open. This is the charge. You and I, as born-again Christians today, we are the living epistle of God's Word. Some people will never pick up the Bible until after their conversion. And the only way they're going to know Jesus is by your lifestyle and seeing Jesus through you. The thing that's going to draw them to Christ is when they look at your life knowing that they have it better, but your smile is brighter. And they're wondering why they still have a void, but you're still looking like you're full and complete. And they're going to want to know why you're always full of joy. What makes you so different? What makes you enjoy life? You had this happen. You had that happen. What is it different about you? What's your secret? That's what they really going to ask. When you say, it's no secret, I'm a servant of the Most High God. Huh? Oh, yeah, Jesus Christ is my personal Lord and Savior. What? I've been redeemed. Huh? I am a born-again Christian. What do that mean? And then you say, thank you for asking. How much time you got? And you sit down and you talk to them your testimony. Don't tell it. Don't tell mine. Because they're looking at you. You don't have to give them who did this and who did that. All you have to do is tell what he done for you. You ain't got to tell all the single little tiny details unless the Holy Spirit leads you that way. But when you tell them one day a precious thing happened to you that changed your life forever, and it wasn't magic, but it so sure enough felt magical. It was genuine. The love of God, the living God, the creator of the whole universe, and all that is, came into your personal space, your heart, and he made you his own. Man, you have their undivided attention because they want to know, how did that happen? When you share your conversion, it's going to mean the world to them because they've been watching you. They saw how you act when you got cut off, when you got overlooked, when you got talked down to. They saw how you behaved when you were hurt, when you was injured. They saw the words that came out of your mouth when somebody cursed you out, but you didn't curse them back. They saw your action. You know what they was doing? They was reading Acts of the Apostles. They was reading your life story, how God made the difference for you. So that's why it's so important for us as born-again believers to understand that we are on display. Oh, yeah. Man, y'all some dummies, man. Man, it don't take all of that. Man, listen, I'll be a dummy for the Lord. I'll be a mannequin. Dress me up, Holy Spirit. Use me. Position me in the mirror like you want me. Because the one thing about it, when people are looking for something and they walk past the open mirror, the open window, and they see those mannequins in there and they see those figurines and different things and they see all the decoration and they see how it's dressed and they come in and they say, hey, I like the way y'all laid that material on that mannequin. Hook me up. Fix me up. Well, somebody want to know, man, I like the way happiness is laid upon my life. I need that material. I need to learn how to be happy like that. You know, I'm tired of reading the horoscope trying to find happiness and still miserable. Mm-hmm. That they've been lying to me all the time long. Mm-hmm. So somebody need to hear your story. And all it takes is for you to keep living godly, keep living right, keep presenting God in everything that you do, and watch the world change around you. I told you a story about Bill Edmonds. He was the one that did. That's why I didn't give y'all his name. Amen. I didn't give you his name when I was talking his story. Amen. But he was the one that Bill Irwin, IRWIN, he was the one that walked the Appalachian Trail from Georgia to Maine, 2,168 miles he walked, and he did it blind. And it was just him and his guide dog walking the trail. And I thought Forrest Gump did something. Nah, this man was genuine. This was genuine right here. This man did something not because he could, but because the world would have said to him, you can't. He demonstrated walking by faith, not by sight. So understanding faith, well, let's get into it. Amen. I got a couple scriptures I want to share on this, and we're going to break them down as we go. Amen. And as we journey together with this. Amen. All right. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4. Reading again for your hearing in the King James. And my fact, I may pull up the New Living while I'm doing that. Let's see if I can add this to my stream. Pardon me, it just dawned on me to do that. Amen. Amen. All right. 1 John, which is in the back of the New Testament, not St. John, but 1 John, back towards Revelation. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4. It says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So, going back to what I was telling you, that you are a living epistle, that you are a living example of God's holiness, of God's righteousness. That's why it's so important for us as born-again believers to operate in faith, to trust God, to take God at his word. We have to behave in the mannerism of God cannot lie. If he says it, whatever he says, because he's creator, it has to change. So if you were short, you were 4'6", and God said you tall, two things have to happen. One of two things have to happen. One, you have to start growing and become what considered tall for your gender. If you're a woman, they say y'all about 5'8", y'all tall. 5'7", 5'8". You know, for a man, he got to be at least 5'11" before they start calling him tall, you know. So if you were 4'1", you're going to have to start growing. Or everybody else got to be shorter than 4'6". Everybody got to come up. So either you must start growing if God called you tall, or everybody else going to start shrinking because he's God of creation. If he said it, that settles it. And if we can ever get that principle locked down in our mind and heart, if God said it, that settles it. We'll learn how to pray better. We'll learn how to walk by faith better. We'll learn how to utilize the benefit that are available for us as born-again believers. This is not in my notes, but it just dropped in my spirit because this is something that happened And thank God, man, God is just so awesome. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit brings stuff back to your remembrance. One day, Jesus was hungry. Yep. Jesus was in the flesh. So just like you and I get hungry, he got hungry. And looking afar off, Jesus saw a fig tree that had leaves on it. And because it had leaves on it, it signified to him being hungry, he hurried up to the tree. Only to get to the tree to find that it was not even one fig on the tree. And he hungry. Now, I don't know about you, but if you hungry and you have an expectation on food being ready, especially us men, and your wife know you're on your way home from work, and you get home and the food is not ready or even to be ready, there's another spirit comes over you. And here we see the humanity part of Jesus, that he spoke out towards the tree in a little bit of anger. He said, oh, you going to play with my emotions? You going to play with my feelings? You know I had a need to eat, and you don't have nothing for me? No man shall eat from you anymore. You know what Jesus said to the tree? And the disciples didn't say much because they're like, oh, okay, all right. Him upset. We're going to leave Master alone for right now. Let him, you know, let him have his personal time out. We're going to let him breathe. You hear so, breathe in, Lord. Let it happen. You mad at a tree, Lord. But the Bible said the very next day they had to pass that way. And Peter sees the tree. And the tree has withered away. Now, it just had leaves on it. The tree wasn't burnt. It was withered. That means all the moisture dried up out of it. The life left it because it looked like it was supposed to have something but didn't. And they begin to question Jesus about this thing. And you know what Jesus says? He started talking about faith. His whole conversation, when they asked him about the tree, he dealt with their faith. Their faith. So when we read scriptures like power of life and death lies within the tongue, whoa, to a believer, we understand the power of life and death lies within what you say, in the authority of God. That's a whole different revocation. That means you never start a conversation, well, I guess we need to pray now. Nah, because you know prayer is power for the believer. It's time to pray. Glory to God. It's a whole different expression. It's a whole different understanding when you understand that God is giving you power in your tongue. What you say matters. What you say about yourself matters. Stop resounding the things of negativity from other people. I know it's a challenge. I know those words hurt. But you got to resound what God said about you and not what people said. Well, Brother Peter, I don't know what God said about me. Well, that's because you're not talking to God. Because if you're talking to God, then you know, you will know what he's saying to you. The Holy Spirit is the gift of God to confirm the word of God in us and for us. That is relational. I know a popular saying amongst many, I found religion. No, I have a relationship. People that get up every morning and before they say anything to anybody, they go to the bathroom, brush their teeth, goggle, before they even say good morning. And they do that every day, every morning, without fail. That's religion. It is a practice without interruption. Relation is even when you are apart, you're still thinking about them. I'm thinking about what I can do for the kingdom of God even when I'm not at church, even when I'm not witnessing, even when I'm not talking about the word of God, even when there's times I'm watching TV and certain things happen, I'm like, ooh, that'll preach. That's relational. Ooh, God, you can use that. Looking for opportunities to add to the kingdom, that's relational. Now let me get back to my text. So St. John chapter 5, verse 4, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now this is faith number one. If you are born again believer, this text says, plain and simple, and I'm going to read it to you in another translation just in case you didn't get King James. New Living Standard, a New Living Translation. For every child of God defeat this evil world. What? For every child of God defeats this evil world. And we achieve this victory through our faith. That'll read five. And who can win this battle against the world only? Who can win this battle against the world? Question mark. Answer. Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Wow. Glory to God. So, don't let this world defeat you because victory has already been given to you. Don't let folks that are not saved. Don't let nobody beat you down that you're so depressed and you can't move, you can't think, you're mad, you're angry, you can hardly breathe, you have panic attacks that feel like heart attacks. Don't forget this scripture. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And so, y'all New Age people, for every child of God, defeat this evil world. This world is evil. But every child of God, not some, not a few, not the Baptist only, not the Presbyterian only, but every child of God. So you don't see religious status here. You see God divinity here. For every child of God, defeat this evil world. And we achieve this victory through our faith. That's why you can't let your faith waver. The devil can't beat you if you don't stop. He can only win when you give up. The scripture says, resist the devil and he shall flee. Problem is, we don't understand resistance. And we're not strong enough to maintain long-term discipline in resisting. Ladies, when that guy starts trying to hit on you, you know that you're waiting for the right one. You know that you're either practicing your celibacy or you're embracing your virginity. You're in that oneness with God to hold yourself for the one that he has for you. I don't care how much that boy beg you. Come on, please. You know, whatever he got to say, your answer will be, nah. And if you don't get away from me, nah, gonna have something to follow in it. Some pans, some knives, because you're gonna get up off of me. Get away from me. Let me get me some help. Now, for the scripture, for the spiritual minded, in the spiritual realm, when you get help, that's somebody that's gonna pray with you. And that's somebody that's going to believe God for your victory in the struggle, whatever that struggle is. Why? One will chase 1,000, but two will send 10,000 to flight. See, we got to understand the scriptures have, they are there to help us, but we must remember that they are there. We must remember. So when we go to God, we're petitioning God. God, you said in your word. And we put what he said, put him in remembrance of his own word. So we say back to God, your word have declared. Jesus told us that. He said, if you be the Son of God, command these bread, that command these stones to be made bread. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. He had to go on to something else. He said, it is written. And every time he told him something that was written, he told him something else that's written that's more powerful. Because we do not have to surrender to what the devil is saying. If we know what God has said. See, there's nothing the devil can say that God hasn't already given us the way of escape. Now, let me move on. So I'm going to lose more time. So, again, this month, we're talking about faith. So, one of the faith scriptures, all of us, that has been versed in the Bible, Sunday school, Bible study, what have you. Our faith scripture is Hebrews 11. So let's go there together. Hebrews chapter 11. B this is our faith scripture. So Hebrews 11, and we're going to read 6 verses. Okay. Now I'm going to come back and deal with each verse one by one. But let me just read them all. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. King James, Phil. The word of the Lord reads, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped, evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders attain a good report. Through faith we understand that the world, plural, was framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear." Verse 4. "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it being dead yet speaketh." Verse 5. "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God has translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." Who you pleasing? Amen, somebody. Verse 6. "But without faith, it is impossible." Now, I know we all seen all the series of Mission Impossible. You saw the TV series. You saw the movies. And somehow or another, when we hear it's impossible, we think, well, there's a thin line here that if we can find it, we can manage the no. This is an absolute. Without faith, you cannot please God. Without faith in God, you cannot please God. Let me read the text. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." Him is, "for he that cometh to God," that is me and you, "he that cometh to God must believe that he is," that he is what? "That he is God." That's why he told Moses, "They're not going to believe you sent me. They're going to ask me, what's your name? Tell them I am that I am. I am has sent me." Here it is. "I must believe in the I am." What do that mean, preacher? He is the everything. There's nothing that exists that he hasn't made to exist. Nothing seeable. He is the creator. So if I'm seeking the creator, I must believe that he still has the power to create. So if I'm in a no-win situation, he spoke into nothingness and created the whole universe, he can speak into my blank situation and speak hope, speak life, speak success. He can speak joy into my sadness. He can speak hope, deliverance in my addiction. I just got to listen to what he's saying. I have to believe he wanted for me. So he says, again, verse 6, King James, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. Now, there's a difference between a reward and a gift. I can give you a gift on just because. In other words, without just cause, I can give you a gift. A reward only comes because you've done something. A reward is given in appreciation to something done. You know, my dog was lost and you returned my dog. We so glad. Here's $100. We miss him. He's been in our family for 6 years. We love him. Thank you so much. Somebody done something. A reward comes through an accomplishment. So he said, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that, here's what you must do, diligently seek him. You must diligently seek God. That's where we lose the crowd. Because everybody that said don't take all that to get to God, they don't understand what they're saying. All of that and then so. Let me bring this scenario to your attention. Have you ever had to go somewhere, talking to all drivers now, or to everybody that have a deadbolt lock that need the key to get out your house? Time to go to work. It was time to get to your doctor's appointment. Where you had to be there at a certain time for whatever you were going to do, you were going to lose out. And you got ready to go, and your keys, which normally sit on the hook by the door or in the cup by the door or on your mantle, it wasn't there. Now, for all the people that says you ain't got to diligently seek God, suppose if I said that about your keys, you ain't got to diligently seek your keys. Just call your keys and they'll come to you. You're going to tell me I'm talking like a crazy person. If I tell you, well, just sit down. You ain't got to look for no keys. Shoot, them keys know you got to go somewhere. You ain't hearing none of that. You pulling up the pillows off the sofa. You find loose change here and there, and you happy about it, but you can't enjoy that happiness because you still need them keys to get out the house, to crank your car, to go where you're trying to go. And you ain't going to have no peace till them keys reveal themselves. Now, I will admit, there have been times where I done looked high and I done looked low. And I couldn't find them. I done went through my dresser drawers, pulled them out one by one, moved clothes left and right, still couldn't find them. Went through the sofa, couldn't find it. Remade the bed, had to remake the bed because I sure messed it up looking for them keys. Pushed the bed out the way. Reorganized the shoes under the bed. Did all of that. 10-15 minutes later, I'm still searching. Done went through the kitchen drawers. Can't find them. Looked in the refrigerator. Couldn't find them. Got so frustrated, one of the things that I did not do. I have to confess for my oneself. I did not ask God for help. I was looking. I thought I was the one that lost them. Let me find them for my oneself. I can find them. Surely I got in the house. I know I came in with it. The door locked. I got the deadbolt on, so I know I came in. They got to be here somewhere. I'm going to turn the sofa upside down. Glory to God, I still didn't find them. Looked here, looked there, and couldn't find them. Finally, I got so frustrated. I said, Lord, what is it that you're keeping me from? Thank you. Sat down in the kitchen, in the dining room table. Sat right there and began to thank God. Well, God, obviously, it was not for me to be where I was trying to get. So I just want to say thank you, because I know delayed don't mean denied. God, I want to thank you for whatever crises you have kept me from. Thank you. And got up and started walking around just praising God. Got right by the door, looked down, and the keys was right there. I said, God, now you know, I ain't going to say, but God, that's just wrong. I done looked all over. They right here. But I still say thank you. Now, if it took all that for some keys, what about the keys to your happiness? What about the keys to your joy? What about the keys to your future? What about the keys to your business? What about the keys to your ministry? What about the keys to your destiny that God has for you? We hear all those things, but we don't diligently seek for them and say, God, how can I attain them? We don't thank God for our circumstance as it is before change. And so oftentimes we end up going through trials and tribulations longer than the intended trial was supposed to be. Somebody said it. I don't know who said it, but it sounds right. I think you may agree. If you fail a test, you have to repeat it. That's the way it was in school. If you fail a grade, you have to repeat it. How many life issues we have failed, didn't learn, and we're wondering why that yoke of bondage still got us going in circles, and we are being passed by younger saints who just taking God at his word, who's believing God just the way they understood it, and allowing God to grow them in their faith. There's some challenges right there. We must learn to diligently seek God. And when we begin to diligently seek him, then we can see those things or have those things which he has in store for us. But we must diligently seek him. That word diligence sometimes means you must investigate. Oh, yeah. Choir. You may even have to beg. Hey, I need you to help me understand this text. You're a little bit smarter than me. Please give me 5 minutes of time. Explain this to me. Why I need an understanding. And diligently, sometimes we just got to crave it, you know. Just like when you were craving for those Krispy Kreme donuts. And, you know, Krispy Kreme is 2 miles from your house and you ain't had no gas. So you know what? I'm going to walk up there and get it. Ain't got nothing else to do. See, you were diligent. Mm-hmm. You had a craving for a Whopper, but your money haven't cleared the bank yet. So you went and borrowed $10. Please, come on, I promise I'm going to get to you my account. My check is clear on my account tomorrow. I'll bring it right back. Please. That's diligent. Why? Because you were craving for that Whopper. So you knew you needed some money to get that Whopper. And although that Whopper was going to be good tomorrow, you ain't want tomorrow Whopper. You want today Whopper. And because you wanted today Whopper, you went and borrowed today some money. You didn't wait on tomorrow. You exercised Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith. You were just believing somebody going to let you hold $10. Why? Because you didn't take your first no. Somebody told you no over here. They didn't have it. They couldn't do it. You went over there. They told you they couldn't do it. You went over here. You kept on till you got your yes. Because you had a craving for your Whopper today. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how ties what we want versus what we need. I'm going to leave that alone. Hebrews 11:1 says, Now faith is the substance. It is. It is the substance hoped for. My little note, faith is the thing you're hoping for. So, faith is true desire that you keep going afterwards today. You're not waiting tomorrow. See, you've activated your faith because now faith is. You may not see it now. You didn't see them $10 you needed, but you knew somebody had it. So you were hopeful, so you kept inquiring until you saw it. So it is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I gave this illustration using the public transportation system, the bus stop. You saw the sign to let you know that this was a bus route. So you didn't have the bus schedule, so you didn't know when it was coming. But you stayed there waiting because you was hopeful, because you already had a sign to give you hope. God has already revealed himself to many of us He's already given his sign to let us know, I come down your block. Yeah. I come this way, and I'm going that way. And if you need a ride, just wait on me. And old folks used to say, God is always on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. So he's on time. He's never late. Because he sets in order the season of our life. For by it the elders, those seniors, those leaders beforehand, they had it. Many of us that have saved loved ones or saved family members, they was the forerunners. And now we are older and we're looking at a younger generation. We have to realize they're looking for our faith. Can they testify that they saw it? Did they see faith when they talked to us? Or did they see doubt? Or did they see unbelief? Is the action or are the actions of our lives causing the next generation to doubt God's ability to do because of what we said haven't been done? See, so here, looking back, he said the elders of old, they obtain a good report. What kind of report? A good report. Why? Because we see them with a steadfast faith in God. And they continue to believe on the coming of the Messiah, even though they didn't see it. They were still believing. You know, we talk about the rapture of the church and there's many people that don't believe in that. But can it be said that we have held on to the faith of that, the rapture of the church? Are we holding on to the rapture of the church? Can people look back and say, although they lived 5 decades now, with the same testimony, he's coming soon. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Can it be said of us that we have held the faith? Verse 3 says, through faith we understand. Here's the understanding. See, here is the whole understanding that the world was framed, built, developed. The world was framed by the Word. Why? We read John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Yeah. My goodness. And so we understand. Through faith, we understand that the world was framed. In the beginning was the Word. My goodness. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. It don't say them. It says him. And without him was not anything made that were made. Period. So this scripture confirms through faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of God so that the thing which are seen are not made of the things which do appear. Through faith, by faith, we must understand it moves, it frames, it creates. What have your faith created for you? Doors that no man can shut. Doors that they thought they closed and locked. By faith, oh my God. By faith, Enoch was translated. No, by faith, Abel offered and unto God a more excellent sacrifice. He offered a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. And yet, I want y'all to understand, God testified. God testified of his guilt. He's testifying of Abel's guilt. It says he gave a more excellent sacrifice. That means it cost him something. But he presented it to God as a gift. That means God didn't have to pay for it. God didn't have to deserve it. He didn't question God what he was going to do with it. He didn't question God how he was going to use it. He simply offered it to him. Your giving, our giving unto God, we must know how to detach ourselves from it. If somebody gave you something as a gift, and you say, why are you giving this? It's not my birthday yet. Oh, well, it's just because what? Well, I saw the gift, I thought about you, and I thought it'd be something you like. Thank you so much, and make you feel real good. It make you feel real good. It was undeserving. It wasn't because you bought this or bought that. It was a thought. And here's the phrase, it was a thought that counts. It was a thought that came into action that counted. Wow, that's a real thought. So, God testified of his guilt, and by it being dead, yet speak. Abel was killed by his brother Cain, and Abel is in the grave, and his gift is still testifying of his righteousness because he did it from his heart. You go to God and we say, Lord, I serve you, but I need you to do this, this, and this. I'm going to leave that alone. Keep on reading. Get your, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated. That word translation deals with his ascension. Enoch had no death. He had no burial. He was translated from this life to the next. God took him. It is said that he walked so close with God, and in his closeness with God for so many years, he lived a long, long, long time But for hundreds of years, he's walking with God, unwavering. And then God took him. It was before the flood, y'all, before the flood. So by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. He didn't have it afterwards. He had it right now. What kind of faith? Now. So when you saw him, his faith was in God. Whatever was going on, his faith was in God. Whatever's going on in our lives, our faith must be in God. The faith testifies about you. His faith says, oh, he really loved God. That's why he's not here now. He's with God. So what's showing up in your life will testify about your faith. And we already dealt with this, but that's the conjunction. Without faith, there's no way, any kind of way, no possibility for us to please God. And if I can't please God, then how can I get God to do anything on my behalf that does not meet his agenda? I can't. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, how can I come to God if I don't know God? I don't believe God. I can't come to something I don't believe. Period. God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder. We've already dealt with that. Reward is for something that was done. A reward is for something done. I don't know who sung it. Yes, I do. The song says, ooh, 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 what have you done for me lately? What have we done for God lately? Well, lately he done a whole lot for us because we're still functioning. Can you lift your hand? Are you clothing in your right frame of mind? Because we are in a world where people have lost their mobility, and science don't know why. There are diseases that takes over the body that causes the body to shut down, causes the muscles to stop functioning. There's issues around us, cancer. They said always cancer cells in your body. So cancer can happen at any given moment. But God saw fit not to allow those things to be today. Do we believe that? Can we tell him thank you for that? Can we celebrate him for that? So now faith is focusing on mustard seed faith. That's good, to have a faith that starts off small but grow and develop. But as time goes on, Posse must develop to redwoods. They are able to move mountains. So they are able to change the world. And I said our faith, not just your faith, not just my faith, but all of our faith must continue to grow and develop so that we may have deliverance, so that deliverance can come into our families, so that deliverance can come to our churches, so that deliverance can come in to the household of faith. And the household of faith is everywhere. It's not just in a building. Pray what I said tonight have encouraged someone. I pray that it has helped you. We're at towards the end of our program tonight. And once again, I thank everyone who have called in. I don't know if there's any questions, any comments, but if there are, all the lines are open. You're more than welcome to ask a question, make a comment you'd like to add to faith. We welcome that. There's some other quotes I was going to quote earlier, but I chose not to do that at the time. I say that for later. There's quite a few famous quotes out there in the world that deal with faith. I thought that would be nice to mention, but I hold them for another program at another time. Amen. All mics are open. Anybody have any comments or anything they'd like to add on this evening? All right. Well, seems like we have no comments. Amen. Well, I want to say thank you all for joining us tonight. You are tuned in to the Six Eyes Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. I want to say thank you for joining us. Hey, you can help this radio program through your giving. And I want to encourage you to give to the Six Eyes Radio Network. You are able to give through Cash App or through PayPal. And if that's your choice this evening, to give to our program, we want to say thank you in advance. If you're giving through Cash App, it is $SIXEYES, the digit number 2 and the digit number 4. Again, that is $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit number 4. Amen. And if you want to give through PayPal, the email address is sixeyes6@gmail.com. That is SIXEYES, the digit number 6, @gmail.com. SIXEYES, the digit number 6, @gmail.com. And whatever your contribution is, small or great, is greatly to be appreciated. This has been a True Word of Faith production. I thank you for joining us on this evening. I pray that something I said has encouraged you to have faith when? Now. Amen. Now faith is. Amen. So if you're going to have faith, have it now. I love you with the love of Christ. I want to say from the Six Eyes Radio Network team, good night, farewell, enjoy your Fourth, be safe out there with your fireworks. Please make sure you're doing it away from power lines. Amen. We don't want to cause no injuries. Stay away from the tall trees that can be mindful of where you're sending those fireworks up at. And we don't want no incidents, no accidents, no fires to people's property. because of you are trying to enjoy yourself. So enjoy yourself with fun, family, and friends. Amen. And to all those that like to do barbecue during this time, have a hamburger for me. God bless you. I love you all with the love of Christ. And I want to say good night, one, good night all.